Okay, today's daf is Chulin daf Ayin Gimel. We are on Ayin Beis Mabeis, right by the Gemara. We just read the Mishnah. The Mishnah had a machlokes between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim about the case where an animal, an ubar, sticks his arm out, his paw out of the animal, and it stays there, and the mother is then shechted, and then the arm is cut off. If the arm is cut off before the shechita takes place, so then everybody agrees that the ubar does not become tameh because an ubar is alive. And as Rashi says in the first Rashi in the Mishnah, ein behema mekabel tuma mechayim. Right, an animal, a person could become tameh while they're alive, but an animal cannot become tameh when they're alive. So if the Aver Minachai, so to speak, is cut off before Shechita takes place, that cannot be Metami the Ubar. The Homachlokas between the Remeir and the Chachamim is where first the Shechita takes place, so the Ubar is now dead, and now, halachically, and then you cut off the Aver that has been sticking out since before the Shechita. So that is a Machlokas. Remeir says that Ubar touched a piece of nevela. Halachically, it's called nevela right when it is sticking out. So once it checked it at that moment, so now it's touching. It's touching the nevela, and therefore, it is maga nevela. Meaning, it's a rishon latuma. Mashenki, when it comes to the chacham, say no, maga treifa shchuta. No, it's only tuma. It's tamei midrabanan. Rashi explained because really midaraisa, as the Rashi explained in the Mishnah, even though it's not matur the aver ba'achila, it's mitar midei nevela. Still, the shchita is enough to. The sticking out arm is not nevela, and therefore it's a trefa. The arm that's sticking out is a trefa. You're not allowed to eat it. A trefa is usually not mitame at all. Midrabanan, when it comes to kachim, it is mitame. We'll talk more exactly. What does that mean when it comes to kachim? We'll talk more about that in on today's daf. But then we have the conversation in the Mishnah about the machlokas between the Remeir and the Chachamim about their svaris. Ay, trefa is usually nitar from a shechita, so is a trefa of the animal itself better or worse than the arm of the fetus that is sticking out? It's not a davar shebagufa. So we went back and forth in the conversation yesterday. Okay, so now we're up to the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Amai, so what's the reason that the Basar Ha'ubar becomes Tamei? In this case, why does it become Tamei? Tumas, even according to Rabbi Meir, who says that it's, or only according to Rabbi Meir, who says it's maga nevela, so how can it become tamei? You're telling me because after it was dead, it could be makabal tuma, but still tumas beis astarim hi. The tumas beis astarim lo mitame. It's tumas beis astarim. It's tuma of a hidden area, a covered area of the body, and therefore, don't we hold that tumas beis astarim is not mitame? If something touches another item, and on that other item, it's considered beis hastarim, a private area, an enclosed area, so it shouldn't be metame. Why? Rashi explains. First Rashi. Psar ha'ubar tame. Why is the ubar tame? Va'lo naga ha'ever bebasar ela al yidei chiburo. Oso maga chibur beis hastarim hu she'eno nireh. Where is it touching? As the arm gets cut off, it's touching on the inside ligaments. The inside is touching each other, and therefore, why should that be matame the ubar? It's tumas beis astarim.
Right, it's skin also.
Well, as you cut it, it's the inside. It's the inside, though, Gemara is assuming that's called beis astarim. That's what's being matame. We'll see more soon. Says the Gemara, lema rebe latame. Maybe this is exactly Remeir Lashitaso, that holds elsewhere that Tumas Beis Hastarim is Batame. And don't worry about the fact that it's Tumas Beis Hastarim, because he holds it as Batame, where we see it from a Mishnah in Kalim. Ditzan, because the Mishnah says there, Shlosha al Shlosha Shenechlak. If you have a Beged that's 3x3 Tfachim, small Beged, 3x3 Tfachim, that is the smallest Beged that is ra'ui to sit on or to lie on. Right? You could have even a smaller beged that's ra'ui to do other things with. That's shalosh ba shalosh zbos, which we'll get to. But 3x3 tfachim is considered the smallest beged in terms of mishkaf. So if you have a beged that's 3x3, shenechlak, that then gets split. So as Rashi says on the fourth wide line, ein ra'ui od lemedris. It's no longer ra'ui to medrash, which, as we know, is a general term in terms of sitting on and lying on and riding on. A zav, or a zava is metame b'medris, as we'll talk about again in a second. B'shloshashanechlak tahar min medris. Avotameh maga medris. Divrei Rabbi Meir. Let's say we have a little piece of cloth that a zav sat on. So unlike all other tumas, which always go down a level, whenever an av touches something, it becomes a rishon, a rishon is a sheni, aviyavos becomes an av. As we've mentioned, this is one of the exceptions to the rule. A zav sits on something that's usually sat on. The zav makes that item in av hatumah itself called a mishkav azav, a medris azav. So, the issue here is, what happens if there's a piece of cloth that a zav sat on, so that piece of cloth is a mishkav or a medras hazav, and then it becomes too small. It gets split, so now it's not big enough to be ra'i l'mishkav or ra'i l'medras anymore. So what's the status of that cloth that now is too small? So Rabbi Meir says, it's mitame maga medris. Why? Because as it's being cut, the inner fibers of that cloth are still connected to each other, and as it splits, it's kind of bun ke'echad, it's touching itself, which was a medris, and therefore it's tame maga medris. It's as if it touched itself one when it was all together, and as it split, it's as if it is one step removed from there, it touched the medris. It's maga medris. And therefore it is, Rei Rashi says, shenogu ze bazeh ba'odan michubarin shahayu medris. It was touching itself when it was still a larger material. Back to the Gemara, Vitanya Amar Reb Yossi, and Reb Yossi says, asks Rabbi Meir, v'chibe eza medris nagazeh. Who touched anything here? It was medris, then it was cut. Who touched anything here? Elos, therefore Reb Yossi argues, there's no tumah here, this new item is not tumah. The only way that this item will be tumah, even after it's split, is as follows. Elos she'im naga bozav, she'ye tumah magazav. What does that mean? Rashi has 2 days. First day of Rashi is, if this Zav not only sat on this baguette, but also touched this baguette. How? Barefoot. Rashi says that a Zav, remember, can make this into a Mishkav by sitting on it, by riding on it, by stepping on it. By stepping on it. So if it steps on it without any chatzitza, it steps on it, Rashi says, barefoot. So now, automatically, the Zav does two things to this item. It makes it Mishkav Zav and Maga Zav. Because it also touches it. If a Zav touches something, then it's also Tumas Maga, and it goes down a level. It's not the same as Mishkav Zav, but it goes down a level. So, says Rabbi Yossi, that's the only time that something is still going to be Tameh. If this gets split, so the Medrus is going to disappear, but the Maga is still going to be there. Because it's still Roy to touch. It's bigger than 3x3 heads bows. So Rabbi Yossi argues, so we assume, the Gemara assumes, what's that machlokas about? Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi. It's machlokas, it's about tumas beis hastarim. Because in a certain type of hidden way, the item touches itself before it's split. Once it's split, so then it's not tummy anymore. But do we say, it's as if it touched itself when it was still the larger material? Rabbi Meir says it's tummy maga medris. Rabbi Yossi says it's not. So maybe our Mishnah is only according to Rabbi Meir lishitaso. Just like the ubar touched the arm, the aver that is sticking out when in a beis hastarim way. So isn't our Mishnah only according to Rabbi Meir and not according to Rabbi Yossi and others who would hold that tumas beis hastarim is not allowed. Rashi has another day here, which is somewhat controversial. Rashi says, what's the within Rabbi Yossi sheet? Rabbi Yossi says, what's the case that the tumah will stick where a zav touched it barefoot? Rashi has another day, though. If you look at the Rashi, Shim Nagabo Azov, first Rashi says, Baraglo Arum, Kishadara Salov, number one. Or then Rashi says, O La'acher Shadara Salov. Or maybe the Zav touched it after it trampled on it. Meaning maybe it walked on it with shoes, so it was already Mishkav Azov, and then he touched it without any separation. V'havi alav shnei tumas, tumas medrash yava tuma, v'tumas maga shi rishon, v'eino elatam yochlan mashka v'chulu. That's the Rashi's second daya. What's the problem with that daya? Ask the Rashba. Once a zav makes something mishkav, could he then make it maga? Mishkav is a stronger tuma. We had a question back in Maseches Menachos. The Rashba quotes the Gemara back in Menachos on Daf Chav Dalid, a concept called Savala Tumah. Something can be satiated with Tumah. So how is it possible? According to Rashi's first day, are wonderful. He stepped on it barefoot, and at the same moment, he made it, thank you very much, and he made it Mishkav and Maga. But once it's already Mishkav, we're going to say that it could become Maga? Ask the Rashba. V'hikshu alav, tam menachas perak ha-komets rabba, mi boi boi lei rabba, iam rinon, shebala tuma oloki, v'shenit beis tchilo, betumas medrash, yichamura, inoga bazav acharkach, imakai balas tuma. Or do you say savala tuma? And the Gemara did not answer the question, v'lo efshita. And that's why Rashi gives the other pshat. So I don't understand, ask the Rashba. So says the Rashba, inami, maybe, b'shenoga, what Rashi really meant was, b'shenoga la tchila. The other way might be able to work, says the Rashba. If you have the Tumah Kala first, and then the Tumah Chamura, if first the Zav touched it, and then trampled on it, maybe that would work. Right? But not, how do you read that last phrase of Rashi? Ola Acher Shadaras Alav. Where do you put the comma? Ola Acher, afterwards, Shadaras Alav. That he trampled on it, or after he trampled on it? So if you want to read this into the Rashi, you gotta work a little bit. But that's the second idea, and that would be, as the notes point out on the bottom, then you would say it's a kind of a principle like ein isser chalal isser, right? An isser can't be chalal isser unless it is a more inclusive isser kolal isser mosif. It includes more. It's more usser. It's more chamor isser. But those are the two days in Rashi, and how the Rishonim try to figure out exactly how we would interpret this. Would we say this even if it's going down a level of tumah? Okay. So says the Gemara, isn't this only like Rabbi Meir Shita, not Rabbi Yossi? So answers the Gemara, no. Lav Idmar Allah, didn't we have an Amora talking about this Mishnah, this Machlokas, that said as follows, Amar Ula, Lo Shanu, when do we say that there was this Machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi? Ela Shlosha, Al Shlosha Shenechlak. If you have this Beged of 3x3 Tfachim that got split, then you have this Machlokas about, is it Maga Medrash or not? But what if you have Avol Shalosh Al Shalosh Habos Bin Beged Gadol? What if you have a big piece of material? Very big piece of material. And then a small chalik got cut off that was smaller than 3x3 Tfachim. Shalosh Al Shalosh here means that's both. Right? So you have a big Beged. And then you have a Beged that's too small for Madras. In that case, even Rabbi Yossi would agree that it's Tamei Maga Medris. Why? B'shas Prishasan Me'avihen Mekabalos Tuma Me'avihen. Could you be so exact, actually, I think this is what you were bothered by before. Could you be so exact when the item is cut off from its source Beged that it didn't touch it in a revealed manner? How can you be so sure about that? You cut it on the outside, and as it separates, it's only touching by the inner threads? No! When you have a big Beged, that it's still Tameh Medris, and you cut off a little piece of it, Rabbi Yossi would agree there that it's Tameh. Because it's Maga Medris. It's touching the item that is still Tameh Medris. When does Rabbi Yossi say that there's no Maga Medris? If you have a Beged that's 3x3 Tfachim, and now the whole Beged is becoming too small. So the second that it's touching each other, it's not Medris anymore. Masha'inkin, if you have a big garment and you're cutting off a very tiny piece of it, even Rabbi Yossi would agree there, because this wouldn't be called Beis Astarim. Because, as Rashi says, fourth to last line in that big Rashi, E.F. Charlotte Samsame. You can't be so exact. Usually we have that principle when it comes to time. You can't be so exact in time. Rashi is saying it also applies in geographical location. You can't be so exact in when you cut something off material that there won't be certain threads that are revealed that are still touching. So that's what he says. Rabbi Yossi would agree there. So Hanami, the Gemara says here too, when cutting off the aver of the animal, Bishas Prishasan May Aver, Mekabel Tuma May Aver. So too, this Gemara could be even Rabbi Yossi Shita, that the aver is going to be Matami the Ubar. Why? This is not Beis Astarim. This is not going to be called Beis Astarim. So within Rabbi Meir Shita, when Rabbi Meir says in our Mishnah, you have to say this is Rabbi Meir L'shitaso. No, you could say our Mishnah is even according to the Mand Amar that Beis Astarim is not Metame. There's a Machlokas anyway in the Mishnah about Nevel or Trefa. But do you have to say that this Mishnah is specifically according to the Beis Astarim Rabbi Meir? That you don't have to say. Because Lav Dafka, that this is a case of Beis Astarim. Period. Whenever we mention the Efshel Etzamtzem, I like to mention the very important chiddush of the Minchas Chinuch. Mention it again because it comes up here, and that's in Mitzvah Kuftes. When the Minchas Chinuch mentions, there are some averos that require a very exact amount of an item. For example, the Isser of recreating the Shemana Mishcha. So the Isser of mixing and making the Shemana Mishcha. So there was an exact amount. How much ingredients? How many of this? How many of that? So, ask the Minchas Chinuch, how could you ever violate this Aveira? We have a principle in the Gemara, Bechoros, and others, Efshel Etzamtzem. When it comes to time, when it comes to, let's say two animals come out of the exact same moment, which is the Bechor? You're not sure, there are twins. Do we say they both have Kedushas Bechor? Or do we say that one of them does, we just don't know? So the Gemara there says, Efshel Etzamtzem. It's impossible that it happened at the exact same moment. So one of them is the Bechor, one of them is not, but you just don't know. That's Efshel Etzamtzem in time. We just had the case in Rashi, Efshel Etzamtzem in space. Right? It's impossible to cut something and the rest of it won't be still attached. Okay. The Minchas Chinuch has Efshel Etzamtzem in amounts. You're measuring out a certain amount of materials. So this is the principle. So says the Minchas Chinuch, if we say Efshel Etzamtzem, how can you ever violate this Aveira? Right? How can you ever violate this? The Minchas Chinuch says, you're forced to say that when it comes to mitzvos and averos, that inherently have an exact amount related to it, then we say the principle of Onit Natarla Malachi Asharis. The Torah wasn't given to angels, and therefore, as much as you do, that's good enough. For example, Kezias of Matzah. You're going to tell me Yefshel Etzamtzem. So a person can never know exactly how much a Kezias is? So no, you don't say that. It's a mitzvah. When it comes to something that inherently is not about time, like Bechor, usually a Bechor is one animal. So all of a sudden here, two animals came out at the exact same moment. That's not inherently a halacha of that always happens by Kedushas Bechor. So there we can apply the principle of Efshel Etzamtzem. But here where the Isser is to make the Shemana Mishcha in a certain way, then you have to say that Efshel Etzamtzem, so to speak. Ach be'emes, kivin de lo nit natar la malachi asharis, im kein, kol makom, she tzivsa ha-Torah, la'asos, b'midah v'mishkal, ha-kol lefi das ben adam, lefi sichlo, im etzamtzem kosher, hein le'inyin mitzvah, hein le'inyin chiv. And again, he says, avav makom da mitzvah kachi, lo shayach lomar, yefshel etzamtzem, der ha-Torah nit nal b'nei adam ala aretz, u'kvi kochenu, kein ha-mitzvah v'ha-azhara. Then he says it by matzah also, that's a crucially important minchas chinuch in mitzvah kuf tes. Mitzvah 109. By the way, we started the mitzvah shiur 2 days ago again, so those of you who are listeners, feel free to join us. Okay, says the Gemara now, second to last line. That's the Gemara. Ravina Amar. Ravina has another pshat of the Mishnah. Another pshat of the Mishnah. Without getting into, it's not based on Starim because of that statement of Ula. Ravina has a different pshat. Beged lav lachaticha kai. Ubar lachaticha kai. Says Ravina, you cannot compare those contexts where we have the usual discussion of Beis HaStarim in our case. When it comes to a beged is not omei to be cut. And therefore, it is considered Beis HaStarim before it's cut. Before it's fully cut, you could consider the connection of the beged Beis HaStarim. Because if you think about it, let's say something is connected to each other. Could you see the connection? For example, we'll talk about it in a minute. Let's say a fingernail. If you have a long fingernail, could you see where the top of the fingernail is connected to the bottom of the fingernail? You really can't. You can only see the outside surface. You can't see where it's connected or not. So halachically, says Ravina, when it's something that's not omei to be cut, that's called Beis HaStarim. That's the machlokas Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Meir over there. Because we're talking about a beged. Mashekin over here, the ubar. The ubar and the arm sticking out, you know that arm sticking out is treif. And the ubar, hopefully it's going to be kosher. It's omeid lechatech. If it's omeid lechatech, v'chol ha-omeid lachtoch, kechatoch dami. Whatever is omeid to be cut is as if it's cut already, so it's not called Beis HaStarim. That's the chiddush of Ravina. If something is omeid lechatech, it's not called Beis HaStarim, it's as if it's cut already, and therefore you cannot compare the context of begadim and this case of ubar. There's an interesting discussion I saw in the Shari Tshuva. Shari Tshuva writes, where? In Hilchos Lechem Mishnah. Hilchos Lecha Mishnah, Simen Reish Ayin Dalid. We know we're supposed to have Lecha Mishnah, the Mon, and we're supposed to have Shleimim. The Mishnah Brura says, Reish Ayin Dalid Beis. What if you have a challah that the edge of it is all burned? The edge of it is all burned. You're not going to eat this. Right? You're going to cut off this edge because nobody wants to eat this totally burned, charred part. It's not just dark. Some people like dark in challah. It's really charred. Nobody's going to eat it. Is this called a Shalem? You're going to say, oh, I'm not going to cut it off until after I make a motzi. But what about our Gemara? Kala omer lachtoch kechatoch tami. So maybe it's not called a shalem. So the Mishnah Berurah says, v'u gosh nisrefa ksas, v'adai lo nechtach mimena, yesh omrim, de yotzin bola in yelecha mishnah, ayin sharei tshuva. He says, some say you can still use it. Some? Yesh omrim? Look in the sharei tshuva. The sharei tshuva says here, says, Ayin b'sharei Ephraim, delo amrinon kechatuch dami. Quoting our Gemara. You don't say, kolomi lachtuch kechatuch dami over there. Why? Afilo meyosu miyatzba. What's the difference? Says the Shari Tshuva, is it a halacha that it has to be cut off? Or is it just what people want to do? It's a big difference. You could eat burnt challah. Nothing wrong with that. You just don't want to. That's not called kolomi lachtuch kechatuch dami. When it comes to our case, this treif and kosher, that's omer lachtoch halachically. There's a chiyuv to be chotech. So therefore, you'd apply the principle there, in our Gemara, of kol omer lachtoch kechatoch tami. That's the Shari Tshuva. V'lo nichala l'meimar d'omer lachtoch lav kechatoch, el akiva d'ike inshi d'achli av shenisraf, lav omer lachtoch karina bay. Some people eat it. Right? What about kugel? Potato kugel. My kids fight. Some of them love the burned part, and some of them hate the burned part. Right? It's not an even break, or else it would be good. But that's kol omer lachtoch. So that's the Mishnah Berurah and the Shari Tshuva in terms of kol omer lachtoch. Shmir Shabbos says if you have a non-burned challah, it's better to use, right? To be makbal al-chila. But the Shari Tshuva says it is not a problem. Okay, yeah.
If it's kechatuch, then it has its own.
If it's kechatuch, lagabi to be considered non-beis hastarim. But physically, you could still say it's touching. It's considered a touching. You're right. It's using the principle of kol omer lachtoch to say you can already view it as if it's open, but it's still not as if it's not touching anymore because physically it's touching. You're right. It's in the middle. It's in the middle. You're right. Okay, so that's Ravina kol omer lachtoch kechatuch tami. The Gemara says, now, come on, right, kechatuch tami, look at Rashi. Rashi obviously is bothered by your question on the top, Rashi. Kechatuch tami, v'harinokin zebaseh. Right? It's revealed, it's touching, but it's revealed. Kechatuch tami is as if you halachically already, you can say it like this, you already view it as separated, because it's kechatuch tami. It's not separated, but you view it as separated. Right, you have the same principle. You have the same issues by kola omer li batzar ke batzuros damien when you have items that are still hanging that are already ready to be picked. Right, kola omer by hair kola omer lato chadokami kola omer listrof kesarov dami. Right, by an esrog of irani dachas. So in all those cases, it doesn't work for every halacha that is considered already burned. What? So if it becomes tami, it can't be metame you kola omer listrof kesarov dami. And if somebody is a treifa, they're considered mace. So if somebody kills them, they're not chayim misa. But for all halachic purposes, they're also considered alive for certain purposes. So sometimes you have this in-between status. You could already say that the destiny of an item impacts regarding certain halachas, not for other halachas. So here, you're allowed to view it as if it's cut already regarding, in your mindset, it's already revealed because you already see it cut. But lamaisa, it's touching each other. And therefore the tumah could pass from one to the other. Okay, so the Gemara says now, Kiman, who is Ravina going according to? So how long did we do two words? Kachatatami, Kiman, Kirabi Meir, Ditznan. Rabbi Meir says, in mikvaos, kol yados hakelim, shehein aruchos, v'asalakatasan. Meir says, very important halacha. Right, let's say you have a kli that has a very, very long handle. Do you have to put that whole handle into the mikvah? Right, to tovel it? So, when it's tummy, we're not talking about tefillas kelim here. We're talking about in the olden days, when they had tummy kelim. So, all handles of kelim that are very long and you cut it off, matvil on makamida, you only have to dunk it until the place where you're going to cut it off. That's it. That's the first
the first opinion, maybe it's Rabbi Meir, maybe it's a stama. Either way, that's what we assume. So Rabbi Meir holds it's kechatuch dami, and therefore you'll have to tovel it up till there. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, achi yatlos kulo. No, you got to be tovel all of it. Question mark. So therefore, is Ravina also saying, what do we say at first? Oh, maybe he's only Rav Meir about based on Starim. So that was suggesting maybe he's only Rav Meir about this principle, about viewing it as Chatuch already. The Gemara answers, Afilu Teima Rabbanan. No, it could be even the Rabbanan. Don't compare Kalim and our case here of Ubar. Why? Kalim are very hard materials. Ubar is considered ochel, it's a softer material. So what? Afilu Teima Rabbanan. Chibure ochlin keman de mifrase dami. When you have ochlin connected, those are allowed to be viewed as separated. Vinigi'i bahadadi. And yet they are still touching each other. And therefore, in our Mishnah, even Rabbi Yehuda over there might view it as separate. When you have a kli, which is a hard material, so then you can't say, it's very hard. So therefore, as Rashi explains here, you can't view it as separate. But by food, by the ubar, Rashi says third line, shehein rachin, they're softer, it's not as much of a halachic connection. It's like mushy and softer. You don't look at it as just as a physical connection, but are they really one unit? If you could stretch them and it's flexible, that's lesser of a unit. And eino chashav chibur, ukeman demifrisi dami. It's as if it's separated. And therefore, maybe you don't have to compare hard materials and soft materials in terms of what's viewed as separated. Continue a little bit more, and then we'll talk. Bish lamala ula hayna detani chatcha. 1 second. So now we have two pshatim of the Mishnah. We have ula. Ula was version number one. Ula was the one who said, it's a base of starim, but here it won't be viewed as a base of starim because yefshal etzam same. That was ula. Ravina says, no, it's omei lachtuch. So those are the two views. So Bish Lamala Ula Hanadatani Khatcha. According to Ula, I understand why the Mishnah spoke about if it's cut off and when did the Shechita take place before and after? Because there's a difference. Aval El Ravina my Khatcha. But according to Ravina, you didn't have to say the case of Khatcha in the Mishnah, because it's only Lachtoch. So what difference does it make if you actually cut it off or not? So I did Tana Resha Khatcha, Tanami Seva Khatcha. You're right. But because the Resha had to say the Chiddush of if you're a chotech before shechita, when it was not metame, that's a chiddush to teach me that baalei chayim, people, do not become tame, or animals don't become tame when they're alive. That is a chiddush. The Reisha had to say. So the Sefer in the Mishnah also said the case of chatcha, but really one didn't have to. Period. A big question on this discussion that we just had. Let's see. Let's take the mikvah, the kalim case. Let's say you dunk the kli, Matthew has made this what you're bothered by. You dunk the kli and you have a very long handle. So what does the Tanakhama say? You can just put it in up to the handle. Ask Tosfos, find the extra kli. The extra part of the handle does not require tefillah because it's extra, but isn't it a chatzitza? On the spot of the handle that is still called handle that you're going to keep? Isn't that a chatzitza? Right? Anything that is omei to be cut, isn't that a chatzitza on that spot? That's Tosis Kasha. Magdal, second Tosis. Magdal, makomida. Vim tomar. Vidach lavi chatzitza. Davi miyutu a makbid. Right? You're gonna cut off this section, so isn't it a miyut ha makbid? So Tosis says, we must be talking about handles that are not like handles that we know of. It's a handle like that are sharsharos, that are chains and rings that are connected to each other. So it's all loose. So all loose. That's why you don't. That's why there's no issue of chatzitza. That is number one. Now a second answer given is in Chiddushi Haran. Very important lemaisa. The Ran says it's not a chatzitza because you're not makpid that it get cut off right now. When you cut it off, that's when you are makpid about it. Remember, a chatzitza has to be, as Tosfos said, it has to be something that I'm makpid on. It's a miyut of the item, and I'm makpid on it. We take a step back. Three levels of chatzitza. For something to be a chatzitza daraisa, it has to cover rove of the item, and I have to be makpid on it. You need both of those requirements. So somebody goes into the mikveh in a wetsuit. That's the only type of chatzitza daraisa, covered in mud on most of their body. Maybe hair might be a separate issue, but that's daraisa. Durabanan, either or. Miut, it could be a miut, but as long as you're makbid. if it's rov or eino makpid. But most of the time, the one that comes up is miyat hamakpid. So that's what Tosfos says here. Tosfos kasha is an are you makpid on this? Says the Ran, v'nichali demakpid alav hainu shekasha alav kishaomid sham b'shas tvila. Makpid means you want this off right now. You'd rather have it off right now when you do the tvila. In our case, who says maybe you'll cut it off in a few months? It's extra, but it's not bothering you now. You're not makpid on it now. You know you're going to cut it off, so you don't have to tovel it. It's not part of the kli. But you're not makpid on it now. Aval kan nichalei sheyamot shamachas katzitza. Mikamakam kivet shegamar b'dayte lakatzitza besof l'Rabbi Meir kakatzitzami. Right? So again, it's omed lixos, but because right now for hilchas chatzitza, it's not called a chatzitza, because hilchas chatzitza, the Ran says, you have to want it off right now. Where does this come up? Very lamaisa, temporary fillings. It's huge discussion in the postkin. Temporary fillings. It's only to come out in 2 weeks, but I want it there right now. Or certain types of stitches, right? Dissolvable, non-dissolvable, dissolvable are much better for halacha. But again, if you want something right now, but in 2 weeks you want it off, but right now you want it here, or at least you don't care if it comes off now. It's a big discussion. Rav Moshe, many poskim are makel when it comes to temporary fillings, as long as you want it there now. If you want it to come off right now, it's just that the dentist didn't have time to take you, but you want, that's a big problem. It's a big problem if the dentist only has hours, certain times of the week, and a woman's supposed to go to the mikvah, and really, this should be able to come out already. But he can't because of the schedule of the dentist. That's a serious shaila. But when it comes, but it's all based on this Ran. This Ran is a very important marker relating to that sugi. The Ran says, if you don't care that it's on now, even if you're going to want it off in the future, that's not called chatzitza. That's not called chatzitza. That's the Ran's answer to Tosfos's kasha. Okay, there's a lot more in the Lamaisa elements of that, but we'll leave that. One final makar. Yeah?
That's a slightly different question. When you go back to the case of the challah, which is burned,
uh-huh.
So we said, well, differentiate saying that the challah itself.
The case of the challah that's burned, you want.
You can eat the challah. There's no issue in terms of trefus like you had with the piece of meat.
Right, so here you can leave the handle very long.
Leave the handle there.
Right, see, the Shaarei Ephraim is going to have to work that out. Because this is a case where halachically you don't have to. Right. Halachically you don't have to. You're right. Okay, one other answer that the Meiri gives. The Meiri says, maybe we're just misunderstanding what Remeir means. Remeir never says that you don't have to tovel the whole handle. Even Remeir is holding you have to tovel the whole handle. He's just saying that you don't have to tovel the whole handle because there's a chiyuv on the handle. You have to tovel the handle because of hilchas chatzitza. You're going to have to tovel it anyway. L'may nafkamina, what if there's a chatzitza on the extra part of the handle? What if there's a piece of gum on the extra part of the handle? So that's not going to be a problem because that part of the handle is only being dunked because it's a chatzitza for the rest of it, not because it has a chovas tefila by itself. So there's a three answers. Tosfos's answer, the Ran's answer, the Meiri's answer. So that answer of the Meiri is also a big discussion on the Maisa in terms of fingernails. Fingernails, the minag, the Rama quotes. The Rama quotes in Shulchan Aruch, in Hilchas Nida. The minag is for women to cut their fingernails. Even cut them, not short like it hurts, but short enough that there's no dirt under there. That's the minag of Klal Yisrael. That's the Rama. So already, 60 years ago, whenever the tshuva was written, 60, 70 years ago, that was the big shiloh. There were women that were coming to the mikvah that did not want to cut their fingernails. The famous tshuva of Yachiezer, of Chaim Ozer, Be'inyin manicure. Right, Chelik Alef Simen Lama Gimel. Right, these women come to the mikvah. You'll have to let them go in. Achiezer says, "Sure, yes, let them go in, as long as they clean their fingernails properly." So it's going against the minhag. Right, but what's the choice? Not to let them go into the mikvah. Right, he says, "Let them go in." What? There's no issue of chatzitza here. Are you going to say it's omei lixos? It's not. They want their fingernails. That omei lixos. He says, "Im adavar nimna v'yuchol lava l'di michsho l'himana di zeitvila yishlatadi bazeh ki anasha menakos heitev v'tiparnayim fein makpidos dafka l'beli lixos." Right, bli lixos, they want it on. Mashenkin hechashin and makped is klava adarab, a rota davkish lixos, siporin, velitpol kach, baze, emain rope, and the other makpidin, raksha roba tovlas makpidos, love a ruba, vichulu, and he continues. Okay, right.
How does the Meiri, based on Josh's question from earlier, how does that really work if you say it's considered as if it's cut, but it's still attached?
It's
still has the same issue of chatzitz, even according to the Meiri.
It's able to be viewed at least not as a beis hastarim. That's why we brought in that case.
No, right.
That's all we need.
But technically you said you don't you view it as cut, you view it as revealed, but clearly there's still
touching. View it as revealed, but it's still touching.
So here has the Meiri answering the question with regard
to the Meiri is saying that's why you have to tovel the whole thing, but Torres that's
the spot where it's touching.
It's a revealed spot that it's touching.
But it's still touching. Has to still be touching.
Right, that's why you have to tovel the whole thing. That's what the Meiri says. But
the point where they're touching.
The point where they're touching, there's a problem. That's why you have to tovel the whole kli. That's what he would say. That's why you have to tovel the whole kli. Okay, let's continue. You're right. I mean, certain halachas are tali on kachatuch dami, and certain talis are not. I mean, whenever you have this type of halachic way of looking at something versus the physical way of looking at something, certain halachas will cut on one side, certain halachas will cut on the other side. Right, these concepts in halacha have that when you are allowed to view the destiny of something as already occurred, right? So that's because what do you mean it's burned? It's standing at me. What do you mean it's cut? What do you mean it's burned? What about it's? So that's halacha. That's the conceptual categories, right? That's the way it's viewed. Weiter. V'chamomer maga trefa shchuta. So we got our work cut out. Let's do it. So the chachamim say that it is only tami mid rabbanan. Trefa shchuta mi matamye. Is a trefa matami the rabbanan shita? That's a question we ask in the Mishnah. Is a trefa doesn't have any tuma? Trefa is not one of the tumas listed in the Mishnah and Kalim. In Kedavu de Shmuel, Damar Bu de Shmuel, trefa shashachta matame bimukdashin. Yeah, Shmuel says midir rabbanan. It's matame bimukdashin. What does that mean? Does that mean that if a trefa touches a carbon? That's how the Rambam understands this line. Or does this mean that a carbon that becomes a trefa is mitame? That is how Rashi understands it later on in Daf Kuf Chav Gimel. Here Rashi is unclear. He just says mi derabanan. But Rashi later on in Daf Kuf Chav Gimel says, we're talking about it. What does it mean, derabanan? If the carbon itself is a trefa, the Rambam says it means that if a trefa touches a carbon. Okay, either way.
So if a coin is shefting in the base of Mikdash and it turns out to be a trefa?
If a coin is shefting in the base of Mikdash and it turns out to be a trefa, I don't know if that's strong enough to be mitame him. But it might be able to be mitame another carbon. Fine. Mamatzita betreifa, back to the conversation in the Mishnah. Sheshchitasa mitar rasa, afshchitas behema tatar es ha'ever. This is what we said in the Mishnah. Remember, Rabbi Meir and the Rabbanan were arguing, and the Rabbanan said to Rabbi Meir, if regular shchita is able to be matar a treifa, so it should surely be able to be matar just an ever. So Tanya, Amar lehen Rabbi Meir, the Rabbi Meir says back to them, v'chimitiaru le'ever zemidei nevela, shchitas imo. Rabbi Meir's like, says to the Rabbanan, you think that this should be tahar, that the shchita should make this ever not tamei nevela? Imkein tatarena b'achilas, why don't you go all the way? Why don't you say the shchita even allows you to eat it? Which I know you don't think, Rabbi Meir says to the Rabbanan. So why do you say that the shechita only works halfway? So Amrulo, they said back to him, Harbe matzelas al she'eno migufa yoser migufa. The Rabbanan say something here that we don't know what it means because we're missing a lot of words. The Gemara is going to explain. The Rabbanan answer back, there are a lot of things that save on something that is not part of its body more than its body. Shahari Shaninu, because we learned earlier. Chotech mina ubar shebemeeha mutar b'achila. Remember the case we said earlier in the Mishnah. If a chaya goes inside an animal and cuts a piece of its fetus and leaves it in there, and then you shech the mother, it's mutar b'achila. Minatchola minakloyos, though if it cuts a piece of the animal itself from the spleen, from the kidneys, asur b'achila if you leave it in there. So that's how what the Rabbanan answer back to Rabbi Meir. So the Gemara says, "My Kamar, what did they answer? This doesn't make sense." So Amar Rava v'Ami lo Kedi. Some say Rava said it. Some say it was anonymous. Chis or in the name of a rabbi. Kedi chis Rabbi Meir v'Achik Tani. This is the conversation. Amar let Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir again says to them. Again, what was Rabbi Meir in the Mishnah? They said to Rabbi Meir that the aver sticking out should be tahar midei nevela, because the shechit of the mother should make it tahar midei nevela. Rabbi Meir says, "V'chi mati tiru le'aver zeh midei nevela." Why? Shechit asimo. You want to say the shechit of the mother should make it tahar? If keta tirena b'achila, so why don't you go all the way? Why don't you say just like the rest of the ubar, it makes it mutter to eat? Amru lo. So they said back to him, "Trefa tochiach." No, a regular trefa will prove. Who says you have to go all the way? If an animal is shechted and it turns out to be a trefa, it's not tamei, but it's asa to eat it. So that's what the Rabbanan answer back. So Amar Lahan, Rabbi Meir says back to them, lo, imtia rashchitas trefa, osa davashi gufa. You know why the shchita of an animal makes it not tamei if it itself is a trefa? because you're talking about one animal, it itself. Titarasa Aver Davasha Inagufa. You want to say now compare that svara to an aver sticking out, which is not the goof of the mother. So how could you compare the two? So Amrulo, so that's what they say back to him. Harbe Matzalos, Alshayna Gufa, Yasumi Gufa. Sometimes you find something that works more and better for something that's not attached to it. Ainu gufa, there's something that's attached. And that's the Mishnah, Shari Shaninu. Chotech min uber shememeeho mutzer ba'achila. That's the Mishnah. If you cut the ubar inside, it's mutzer. Min atchom anaklayos, aser ba'achila, period. Good. Similar conversation. Tani nami hachi amalan Rabbi Meir. Primati arula eber zemide nevela. Who made this eber tar? Amrulo, shchidazima. Imkein, that's rena ba'achila. Same conversation. Amrulo, Rabbi, Amrulo, trefa tochiyathra. But I say back, trefa will prove that we're right, that you could split. Sheshchitasim etarasim ide nevela, veinam etirasim ba'achila. So you see, it could be split like a trefa. Amrulahen. He says back to them, "Im tiara shchitas trefa osav es haever hamedoldal ba davar shegufa." So this new brisa adds in one other element. Rameir says back to them, "What do you mean? If an animal is shechted, so then it, if it is a trefa, is tar, and even if it has an aver that is semi detached from it, that also is tar mi de nevela. But that's because it's the animal itself." Titaras a ubar sheino gufa. This should be matar the ubar or an aver of the ubar sticking out. Rabbi Meir says, some are low, they answer him, yeah, harbe masel, sashayinu gufa, yosumi gufa, same thing, shayinu chodeh van uber shemeah, mutter ba'achila, menatchol menaklayos, aser ba'achila, period. Okay, that's the conversation that we had with Rabbi Meir and the Rabbanan. New section. Amr Shimon Lakish. Kemachlokes be'ubarin, kach machlokes be'evarim. Shimon Lakish says, just like there's a machlokes when it comes to the uber's limb sticking out, whether the shechit of the mother makes it tar midei nevela, so too they have the machlokas about limbs themselves. What if an animal has a limb that is mostly detached from it? It's attached a little bit, but it's mostly detached. It's not getting better. It's not growing back. So is that considered as if it's already cut or not? So Reb Shimon Lakish says that'll also be a machlokas, Rameir and the Rabbanan. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, no, machlokas be'ever de ubar. The machlokas is only by the aver of the ubar. Avol be'ever de behema, but the aver of an animal itself, divrei akol, shchita ose nipol. What does that mean? Rashi explains, and we'll see it later on also, when, if you have an aver that is basically falling off, the second that shchita occurs, we view it as if that limb has already fallen off as shchita takes place. That's what shchita ose nifol. When you do the ma'isa shchita, you view the limb that is semi-detached as if it's detached already. So Rabbi Yochanan would say in our case, divrei akol, shchita ose nifol. Rashi says, b'sha'a shchita harehu hanofel mimena. It's fallen off. Ve'en shchitas mo'elos lo, and therefore, it's not going to be tar midei nevela. It's as if it was cut off before the shchita. Shchita does not metar midei nevela. Reish Lakish says it's the same machlokas. Rabbi Yochanan says no, everybody would agree by the aver of an ubar. But the aver of the animal itself, everybody would agree that shchita osen nifol. Am Rabbi Yossi Barchanin, in my time under Rabbi Yochanan, why? Alibad Rabbanan. Why does Rabbi Yochanan, what's the svar of Rabbi Yochanan alibad Rabbanan? Meaning that there's a chilek. According to the Rabban, by an aver of an ubar, it is tahar, not nevela. By the aver of the animal, it's still tameh. What's the difference? Ha islay takanta b'chazara, v'halas lay takanta b'chazara. The ubar could bring his arm back in. This animal's arm is falling off, and therefore, there's no, that's why it's osenifol. It's not considered part of the animal anymore. One shchita takes place. Period. So meisvei, let's try to prove this machlokas from this last brisa that we just quoted. Let's quote again from it. Amar lahem, Rabbi Meir. Meir says to the Rabbanan, Lo im tiara shchitas trefa osaves eva medul dalba davar shegufa. Rabbi Meir says, no, the shchit of a mother can make the animal tar if it's a trefa or an aver falling off it. Tataras a ubar davar sheino gufa. It should make the ubar tar, something that's not attached to it. That was Rabbi Meir's statement from the Brisa. So, says the Gemara, Bishlo al-Rashi Men Lakish, according to Rish Lakish, who says, there's a machlokes, both by an Uber's aver that goes out, or by the animal's own aver that's falling off. According to him, so Rabbi Meir's comment makes sense. L'divrehem ka'amar lahu. He's talking, hey Rabbanon, according to you, I have a problem. In other words, as follows, the Gemara explains itself. L'didi, according to me, Rabbi Meir says, nothing is ever tahar. There's always tumas nevela. Loshna aver de ubar, v'loshna aver de behema, ki adadi ninhu. I hold that whether it's an aver of an ubar that's sticking out, or the aver of an animal falling off, I hold, they have the same halacha, that the mother shchita never makes them tahar. Ela l'Rabbi Yochanan. So, but Rabbi Meir's talking l'shitas cha. According to you, what's the that's Rabbi Meir's lashon? Because what does Rabbi Meir say? Rabbi Meir says, "Hey, shchita only works for a treifa or an aver falling off." What do you mean? Rabbi Meir himself holds that it doesn't work for the aver falling off. He's talking l'shitas cha according to you, Rabbanan. El Rabbi Yochanan Kasha. Because Rabbi Yochanan is a question. Because according to Rabbi Yochanan, everybody agrees by an aver falling off that it remains tamei. Right? Everybody agrees. Shechita osenifol. So what is the lashon of Rabbi Meir in that brisa? How does that work? According to Rabbi Yochanan. So Elai Imar Hachi Imar. Okay, so you've got to change it. It doesn't work. So change it. Amr Shimon Lakish Kmachlokas Buburn Kamachlokas Bevarim. Rish Lakish says, Rabbi Yochanan would say this is what the Machlokas was about. Right, or this second view to fit it in. Reish Lakish says, like he said before, there's a machlokas Meir and the Rabbanan both by Ubarin and by Evarim. Rabbi Yochanan Amar machlokas be'Eiver to Ubar. The machlokas in the Mishnah is only by an Eiver of an Ubar that stuck out, whether the shechita of a mother makes that tar or not. Aval be'Eiver de Behema, Diri Akol, ain't shechita osanifol, the opposite. Everybody agrees that just because you shech something doesn't mean that you should automatically view it as if it's cut off already. If it's still attached physically, it's still attached physically. Amar Rav Yossi Bar Chanina. So now the question is, by time of Rabbi Yochanan or Liba Rabbi Meir? So now the question is, Rabbi Yochanan has a Rabbi Meir who splits. Rabbi Meir splits and says that an aver of an animal itself does get tahar. An aver of an ubar does not get tahar. Right, so what's the difference? So high kufa, high lav gufa. Difference is because the aver of an ubar is not considered part of the mother, and therefore it's not going to become tahar. Period. Amar Rabbi Yisrael Bar Yosef, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. So now we're going to talk about this a little more. Hakol modim shemisa osenifol ve'en shchita osenifol. Rabbi Yochanan says everybody agrees that when an animal dies and it has a limb that is about to fall off before it dies, everybody agrees that that limb is considered detached before the animal dies. What's the difference? What's the difference? If it fell off beforehand, it's tumas aver menachai, which has the status of nevela anyway. So what's the difference? So Rashi explains, aver menachai is only tamei when it is a whole aver, not when it's a little bit of an aver. So if it's considered just a nevela, that even a little bit of it is going to be metame. If it's aver menachai, it's got to be whole. That's the difference. So Rabbi Yochanan says, when the animal dies, it's osenifol, vein shchita osenifol. But shchita is not osenifol. Right? Like Rabbi Yochanan said in the second day just above. So b'mayas kinan.
So if it's part of an aver, then it's tar?
What do you mean it's part of an aver?
What's an aver mean?
Right. If it's a part of an aver, it wouldn't be the, it wouldn't be called aver menachai. Aver menachai has to be a whole aver menachai. And it would not be metame. That's what Rashi says. Veno tami kever menavela al kever menachai. The aver jish b'neim, Rashi quotes the Gemara later on, that it has to be only an aver shalim. Only an aver shalim. So Gemara says, "B'mayaskino, what are we talking about exactly here in this statement of Rabbi Yochanan? Ilema be'aver to ubar. Are we talking about the aver of an ubar? Whether that's called, that is tumor or not, miflik pligi. That's the machlokas in our Mishnah. We can't be talking about an aver of an ubar. We must be talking about, as we assumed, ela aver de behema. We're talking about a limb of an animal. An animal, when an animal dies and it has a limb that's about to fall off, so then misa osanifo, when if it dies, it's considered as if it was detached already. Masha'enke, when it comes to shchita. So the Gemara says ela aver de behema semicolon misa tanina shchita tanina. We already learned both these halachas. What's the chiddush of Rabbi Yochanan? We already learned Misa is osenifo, and Shechita is not osenifo. Where? Misa, Tanina. Let Misa, we already learned. Let's just do the Misa, and then we'll do the Shechita one tomorrow. Be'ez Hashem. Misa, Tanina, we already learned. What's the case? The Mishnah says later on. The case over there is that where you have Basar and Aver Middul Dalin. Right, you have an animal that's losing its basar and an aver. So the Gemara says, Mesa habehema. If the animal dies, habasar tsarach hechsher. If the animal dies, then the basar is going to need hechsher, meaning it's going to have liquid come onto it. Veha aver mitame mishum aver menachai, vein mitame mishum aver menanavela, div Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says, the aver that's came out separated is considered aver menachai. Meaning, that shows me, misa osanifo. And the basar requires heksher. What's the importance of that statement? Meaning it's not nevela itself. If something is nevela, it doesn't have to get huksher lakabal tuma. So you see from Rabbi Meir Shita here, that misa osanifo. Because both the basar and the aver that are detached, semi-detached before the animal dies, are both considered as if they were separated before the animal died. Right? That's what the Mishnah says. Because the Batsa requires Hechsher. It's not called Nevela itself. And the Eber is called Eber Menachai, not Eber Menames. And the Gemara says, Shchita Namitanina, Shchita also, we already learned, but that, it's going to take a few minutes to explain that line. So, we are going to stop here by Shchita Namitanina. Okay, but then we will continue. By the way, the Parsha Shir was last night, so hopefully it should be up already. And the Mitzvah Shir continues now as well.